This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Someone with a unique insight into the Folau saga is Louisa Wall. Louisa is a member of the New Zealand Parliament and played a key role in driving the campaign to pass marriage equality legislation in New Zealand. She also played rugby union at the highest level, playing for the Silver Ferns, New Zealand's world champion rugby union team. The Informer asked Louisa what her take is on the Israel Folau saga.
I think the Israel Folau saga has been happening now for over 2 years, and in spite of him having specific meetings with his employer and in spite of agreements that they've had, he seems to have chosen a perceived right of religious freedom that completely contravenes the values and beliefs of not only Australian rugby, and I believe the Australian public mostly, but also those investors who support Australian rugby from valuing diversity and inclusiveness, and being really clear that LGBT peoples are equal human beings, equal citizens and equal employees. And it just seems to me he's been deliberately provocative, and he now is taking on some sort of crusade to stand up for his faith that I don't quite understand. But from my perspective, I've always said that Israel Folau is a role model. He's somebody that has over 800,000 followers on Facebook, that what he says does matter. And if we provide the evidence that what you're saying when you say that if you're gay you're going to go to hell basically means that if you're a young person, they then fundamentally think that something's wrong with them. And it does them harm when young people think there's something wrong with them. And we know from research, and I was looking at the assessment of the plebiscite debate in Australia, and you had a 20% increase minimum and services, and these are young people who were traumatised by the process. And in fact, all LGBT were, it wasn't just young people, but I'm particularly interested in young people and their seeking help, because, you know, it does speak to historic discrimination and prejudice that has been historically driven by the churches and religious doctrine. And I do think that we're at a time in civilisation and our societies where we have to say that it's wrong and we won't tolerate it. And so if you breach your employment agreement, then actually we don't want you to represent us. It's as simple as that.
In response to, I wholeheartedly agree with all of those sentiments. The counterclaim is that it's a part of freedom of religion for him to be able to express these kinds of perspectives. What do you say to that?
Oh, well, I mean, I agree that freedom of religion agrees if you're preaching from the pulpit or if you're speaking to members of a group that you belong to. And let's not forget that people choose to be a member of a particular religion. It's not like ethnicity or the colour of your skin or your sexual orientation or gender identity, actually. You know, we're talking about fundamentals that people are born with, whereas religion, within the context of the members of those religions sharing their beliefs and values, fine. But the problem that we have with people like Israel is that whether he likes it or not, he represents Australian rugby. He's an Australian sports person. You know, he's revered. People think he's cool. He actually does have the ability to influence. And I've pushed for a couple of years now the concept of a duty of care. And so if you're in the public figure, if you're such an influencer, then you have a duty to not harm. And I believe that what Israel has done is harm people. And actually, Robert, who was one of your NRL and also Australian Rugby League stars, Ian Roberts, was really clear that what Israel said does damage, and it does push vulnerable people. It becomes part of a stimulus, you see, that pushes young people into self-harm through internalised hatred, because that's how other people depict you or see you, and it leads to suicide. And, you know, if we don't understand the correlation, and if someone like Israel can't understand the correlation and actually take responsibility for being a role model, and particularly for the young specific people who are struggling with their sexual orientation and gender identity, he doesn't seem to understand, I guess, the responsibility that he has. Mm-hmm. And we end up in situations like we do now, and belligerently carrying on and challenging this through the employment courts in Australia.
Mm, absolutely. I think that idea of a duty of care as a public figure is a really good one. Do you think that it's just an idea, or do you think it should go beyond that? How do you think it should operate?
I've been thinking about how you legislate for it, to be honest, because you might not know, took FFX to the Human Rights Review Tribunal in New Zealand and ultimately to the High Court. About a duty of care, I think that anybody has when they have a public platform that can influence so many people. But it was around a racist cartoon that essentially depicted Māori and Pacific people as bad parents, negligent, preoccupied with smoking, drinking and gambling and ripping off the public system. Now, I don't know about you, but I think those depictions are deplorable, and we should be doing everything we can to stamp out that sort of stereotype, which I lost the High Court case. They said I hadn't breached Section 61 of our Human Rights Act, which is about harmonious race relations, and also ensuring that the media itself had a formal process about determining whether or not what they were publishing was going to harm anybody. So that decision came back last year, and I've been thinking about how we operationalise that. So I don't categorise what Israel Flau is doing as a freedom of religion issue. It's clearly an employment issue. He breached the contract that he had, and there was specific follow-up with his employer, and he chose to ignore them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is at all about that. I think it is really about the values and beliefs that your employer has and those that support your employer. And if your beliefs are incongruent, and if you belligerently continue to bring that organisation into disrepute and challenge, I guess, what they stand for, then obviously employers have to take action, and you become not fit for the purpose of representing that organisation.
That was Louisa Wall speaking to The Informer. I'm Nick. This is Nick. One part of the debate around Israel Folau has been claims that that it's an issue of multiculturalism. We asked Louisa Wall, a proud Maori woman, about the history of colonialisation and Christianity in the Pacific.
Without doubt, colonisation included Christian colonisation of the Pacific Islands and also Aotearoa New Zealand. I actually belong to a religion called Ratana, which is a Māori hybrid of Christian beliefs. Mm. And there were other religions that formed as kind of hybrid Māori Christian religious organisations or institutions. So to agree, I understand what people are saying in terms of Pacific and their beliefs in Christianity mostly. But there are many ministers and many Christian Pacific Islanders who don't believe in LGBT people going to hell, that homosexuality actually isn't a sin. Mm-hmm. That in Samoan culture they have their gender called whakawhine, and then in Tongan they have whakaleiti. And so they have expressions of people who are non-gender conforming, non-binary. Mm-hmm. And they are part of family and or ainga. They have special roles within those family and ainga. And there was never anything wrong with them up until the Christians came. And then all of a sudden, you know, the people that were members of our families that we loved and supported were demonised. Mm-hmm. And that the reality of colonisation and right around the world. So we've had that as well here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, which meant that our Māori men fled in the 60s and 70s to Australia, to King's Cross, made a life for themselves. People like Georgina Beyer actually became a sex worker as a form of survival, but also to pay for her gender affirmation surgery. So, I mean, if we look at that justification, it's not valid, because not all Pacific Islanders think that their family members are going to go to hell. It's incredibly judgmental. And I think that it's those doctrines, if we're perfectly honest, that need to be challenged in terms of their effect on society. And I think there needs to be greater scrutiny of the harm that these particular beliefs perpetrate on vulnerable communities and vulnerable people. Yeah. I think society is doing a great job to say to young LGBT people, you know, we love you, we value you, we accept you, there's nothing wrong with you, you were born perfect. Mm. It's not society now that's the problem. It is quite specifically these religious organisations and their beliefs that say that there's something wrong with us, that we're bad, that we should be demonised. You know, and I do think that this hopefully will provide a spotlight on that. And what are the faith communities doing to address this?
Yeah.
Because if it results in young people killing themselves, then we're condoning suicide. And that is a massive problem for all of us.
Absolutely. Powerful words, Louisa Wall. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us here on The Informer. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Toby. And just can I say, we have a saying in New Zealand called kia kaha, which means to be strong and be strong in your resolve, and for all of us to continue the fight for LGBT rights, LGBT equality, because we will get there. It'll always be a struggle, but I think that there's power in numbers, and through collective action, we can actually change the world. So thank you to everybody in Kia Kaha, Australia.
That was New Zealand MP Louisa Wall speaking to Toby Halligan.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.